join the revelation all day today. I was reading and studying and getting ready for the next few weeks, and boy, exciting stuff. Exciting things going on in the revelation, amen. All right, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent." Boy, there's a lot of people don't want to do that anymore, amen. You know, the Bible says when a guy gets saved, he's to repent of his sins and ask God to forgive him his sins. Forgive him and ask him to come in your heart, amen. Boy, how important that is. "And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Repent means to turn around. Go the opposite way. "But this thou hast, and thou hatest the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." I mean, remember where the remember the tree of life? Where was that first found? Garden of Eden. And when man sinned, God put an angel around there so nobody would touch it, amen. Because if they ate of it, they'd live forever. "And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write," here's the second church, "these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and thy tribulation, and thy poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say that they are Jews and are not, but are in the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with his two edges. With two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast the stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also then that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which is, which thing I hate, repent, or else I come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit hath said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying, he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent. of her fornication, and she repenteth not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put unto you none other burden, but that which he have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, and to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And as a vessel of the potsherd shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's pray. Father, would you speak to our hearts tonight? Would this be a blessing and a help and encouragement? Lord, you're always going to bless us because you said whoever hears this will be blessed. So we're blessed tonight. You also said whoever speaks it, they'll be blessed. And then you said those that keep it will be blessed. So Lord, I pray tonight that we keep your holy word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 4, the Bible says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Remember in verse 3, he talked about the wonderful things that this church was doing, but now he's coming to the point, he said, I want you to know that I've got some things that you need to take care of. This verse, Jesus says, the bad things that he has to say about the churches. Notice that he says everything good first, before he mentioned a single bad thing. Wouldn't that be a wonderful world that we lived in if people could compliment us and then tell us some news that we need to know and to help us? He said, thou hast left thy first love. Much like a newlywed whose love lessens with the years, often churches lose their first love. And let us keep the sweet, pure love of our honeymoon with Jesus going, amen. It's a ongoing thing that you need to continue to love your wife, love your husband. It's an ongoing thing to continue to renew that relationship. And I'll tell you what, it can get pretty cold real quick if you don't stay with it and keep it. I talked to a lady the other day. She was a place that I could talk to her, and she said that, you know, she said, I'm just struggling so much with my marriage. And I said, and then I gave her a few points. I said, I've been preaching for the last 3 weeks in our church on the home, and I said, I'll tell you one thing you need to be doing. I said, you need to be, I don't know how to tell you this. I said, you need to keep your mouth shut. Because she was telling me all this stuff that, you know, the building up, and he was pushing her button, and man, I'll tell you what, she'd had it and all that. I said, why don't you do what the Bible says in Peter, where he says that your gracious love and the way you act and things may bring that unsaved husband back to Jesus Christ. And she got real quiet. And then she started asking me some more questions. I said, you know, married life is a continual work. It's a continual work. Brother Scott told me, he said, preacher, you know, when you're preaching on the family, why don't you put on there one thing you should never do, and that's leave your wife without giving her a kiss. And I thought of that, you know, when he told me that, I went home, put it on my notes. And when I did, I remembered, you know, that day that my wife, 5.5 years ago, had her ventricular cardiac arrest. I had kissed her when she went by to get in the car, but when she forgot her cell phone and came back, I about sucked her eyeballs out, amen. I tipped her over like they do in the movies, you know, and I'd give her a kiss. And she even raised her leg up like that, amen. Like the girls say, So anyway, yes, it's a continual thing. But he said, well, she's got bad breath. You smell worse things. And someday you will not have that chance. So take your opportunity when you got it. Let her know. Remember, the lady, she has to be reminded that she is loved. She has to be reminded, Marcia now, behave now. I have to come back and give you a kiss now. She has to be reminded that she is everything that you need. She has to be reminded, you have to remind her that you love her. That gives her security. She's wanted. You know, that there's nothing better for you than her. And so continue on that. Amen. Well, remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen, and repent. Repent means to turn around. Jesus is saying, get back to the honeymoon of the church. Get back to your church. Get back to loving your church. Get back to loving Jesus Christ. Suppose a married couple could regain the sweet love that they had they were first married. Well, wouldn't that be wonderful? And it can. I'll tell you what, I think it's better. The longer I'm in love with my wife, the better it gets. Amen. You say, but no, there's no secrets. She knew everything about me. She'd tell me what I was going to tell you, what I was going to put on. She just knew everything about me. That's just the way it is. Amen. Or she'd say, are you going to wear that? And you knew when she said, you're going to wear that, you take that off and put the other thing on. Amen. Or you say, you got any suggestions? All right, amen. You got to work on it. Amen. Do the first work, the Bible says. What is the first work of a new Christian? It's telling everybody, telling somebody else, of course, about Jesus Christ. And we need to get back to that. Boy, when you got saved, you said, man, look what I got. Hey, I want to tell you about it. By the way, you certainly straighten out who's real friend and who's not a friend when you start telling about Jesus Christ. I heard a guy say, well, I can't get, you know, if I get saved, I won't be able to get rid of my bad friends. I said, oh, yes, you will. You don't even have to work at it. You just start telling them about Jesus. Tell them about how that Jesus loves them and they need to get saved and you want to see them in heaven. I'll guarantee you, either they get saved or they go by the wayside. Listen to what he says, or else. You get back to soul winning, and he said, or else, I'm going to come unto you quickly. Jesus tells them that he wants to find them winning souls when he comes again. Oh, to be pleasing him when he comes. Isn't that the most important thing? Amen. Then it says, and I just spit on my screen, sorry about that. And or else I will come quickly and will remove thy candlestick. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 20. Find out what the candlestick is. Last part. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. He said, I will remove that church. I'll just remove it. You know, I see a lot of churches being removed today. All across the country. Unbelievable. One after another. There's gone. Could it be God is saying, I'm going to come quickly if you don't get back to what you're supposed to be doing? Some churches have ceased to be real churches because they've left soul winning programs. Jesus removes their power. Let us guard the power that we have lest we find ourselves without a candlestick. This thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Verse 6. Note the word Nicolaitans. That means rule the people. God does not expect the church to be ruled by anyone except by Him. It's a democracy. The true New Testament church is no place for bishops. No place for popes. We take our orders from God alone. And He's got all the orders right here in the Word of God. Then he says, verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. That means those that have a spiritual ear. In other words, you who are spiritual, hear these things. Then he talks about the tree of life. For the healing of the nations is mentioned, verse chapter 22, verse 2. Thank God for the provision He made for His own, that there will be a healing. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little restless to see what's going on in America right now. And things that are happening around the world. Thank God there's going to be healing someday. There's going to be healing someday. And then we see the letter of Smyrna, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write. The word Smyrna has this idea of myrrh, which is a sweet-smelling perfume, that this church was a fragrance to the Lord. They're willing to suffer for Jesus. These things saith the first, that forever settles the possibility of evolution. Jesus was the first and made man out of the dust. Amen? And the last, that settles what's going to happen in the future. So I'm the first. I started off. I'll guarantee you what, I'm the last. I'll be the last one that says anything about this. That settles what's going to happen in the future. And when all else is gone, Jesus will be there. This is the day when everybody seems to be worrying about the future. I do not know about what your future holds, but I know that Jesus knows the future. I don't know what my future holds, but I know what Jesus holds the future. I just heard tonight that Debbie Reynolds passed away, 84. And I didn't realize she was that old. But people pass away. Pass away quick. They pass away. And I hope she made her peace with God. She's the one that sang, Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be. And I hope that she received Jesus Christ, her personal Savior. You hear many deaths lately. And you just pray that this is God saved them. Amen. He said, you were, which was dead and alive. It talks about Jesus. What an encouragement to suffer with the people of Smyrna. They were facing death. Jesus faced death. He reminds them he rose from the grave, and they too will raise from the grave. Hey, you know what? It's just a little bit that we suffer here on this earth. It won't be very long. We'll be up to heaven, amen. Jesus was saying, they put me to death to Smyrna, but I got up, and so will you. And then he says, I know your works and tribulation and poverty, verse 9. They did not have a lovely building to draw people. They did not have carpet or stained glass windows, nor rich members, not prestiged in the community, but they had the approval of God. He said, but thou art rich, he said. They were rich in things that money cannot buy. You can't buy power of God. You can't buy the spirit of unity within your church. There's a lot of churches today would gladly trade their beautiful big buildings for a sweet spirit, which they do not have in their church. And I've certainly seen a number of those churches. Then he says, what say they are Jews and are not? Could this apply to the folks who say that they are the Anglo-Saxons are Jews? We're the 144,000. I was talking to a guy the other day. And he had his... You talk about doctrinally screwed up. I'm sitting here alone. I sat down there because I'm going to talk to my grandson at McDonald's. And this little guy is sitting next to me. And I said, you know what? It's a good idea to witness to a man. Talk to him about Jesus, amen. And so I talked to him. I asked him his name. He told me. I told him who I was. Oh, he says, you're Casey's daddy. I said, yes, I am. He said, he's a fine boy. I said, yes, he is. And we talked a while. And I said, hey, you go to church any place? Nah, he said, me and my wife, we stopped going to church. We went to the Catholic church, and we just couldn't take it anymore, and so now we're not going any place. But I have a lot of people stopping in to see me. And he said, I think I'm one of the 144,000. I said, oh, yeah. Jehovah's Witnesses got to his door. Uh-huh. And they say they're the Jews. Baloney. They're not Jews. No. He said, they need to go down to Target and get one of them things, rub their tongue on it, send it to the lab and find out what they are. But anyway. It's supposed to be funny. Ancestries, you know. Thank you very much. Thanks, Grandma, for telling your daughter, explain it to her, amen. Well, you need to be here more, amen. She needs a lot of explanation, amen. But anyway, and then he told me about some other things, and eating the Eucharist, and oh my goodness, I'm going like, this man is, he has, there's nothing sound at all of his thinking. I felt so bad for him. And you know, I was at my chiropractor yesterday, and we were talking about some things, and she went home to her daddy and mom was down in Wichita, and she goes to church there. She helps poor people and the homeless and stuff. And her daddy was there watching her as she was giving out food and tan, you know, gloves and things like that. And afterwards, her dad says, he's laughing at her. And this woman just getting in her face like crazy, like, you gotta help me! You know, nobody helped me. Nobody cares about me. Just kind of crazy, you know. And her dad's laughing over the corner at her. Finally, she said, Dad, what do you like? She says, you can't fix crazy. And I told the doc, I said, I'm going to use that if you don't mind in church. You can't fix crazy. I think isn't that funny?
You can't fix crazy.
There's some things in life that you can't fix. And I guess this lady said, you don't know me. She says, yes, I do. She says, I've been here for 20 years helping in this church, and you've been here every year. Then she really got mad. And guess what her dad said? You can't fix crazy. And that'll add to my list of, it is what it is. All right. He says, but are the synagogue of Satan. Synagogue is a gathering place. The word church means called out. Called out assembly of baptized believers. Ekklesia, that's a Greek word. We have too many gatherings today where people have never been called out. They've never been called out of the world. They've never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The devil and his churches, a church that does not teach the salvation of Jesus Christ by grace, the virgin birth, salvation through faith and the blood of Jesus Christ, that's a church of the devil. If you think you can work your way to heaven, that's not a church. You cannot. It is not of works as any man suppose. It's a gift of God. All of us are stranded. All of us are people who are on the verge of death and hell. But Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on the cross so that we'd have everlasting life. And we have to invite Him to come into our life to be our Savior. I need a Savior. I need to know that I need a Savior. There's been a couple times in my life I've needed a Savior. A couple times about drowned. A couple times I've had some really crazy stuff go on. And I needed a Savior. And I knew I needed a Savior because there was no one to help except I couldn't help myself. And by the way, you can't help yourself. It's through Jesus Christ. And you've got to come to the point in your life where you realize you're a sinner. You got to come to your life and realize that because of your sin, you need to repent and ask God to forgive your sins and come in your heart. Would I have an amen? Getting saved is just not coming forward. Coming saved is realize that you have a need. And you're sinking. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within. Sinking to rise no more, but the Savior, but the Master of the sea, heard my despair cry. Yeah, that's it. You don't become a Christian because you walk into the church house. No more you're a car if you stay in the garage all night. You might smell like one, but you're not a car. This is what he says. Verse 10. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. That 10 days, there could be 10 years, a short time. It is but a short time that we suffer comparison to the eternal years that will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. It just be a few years. Yes, God did promise us that we would suffer persecution. He says in 2 Timothy 3:12, listen now, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you live godly, you live godly at work, there's going to be some things that are going to happen to you. But don't fear. There's only going to be fear a little bit. And you can stand that for a little bit compared to what it's going to be like in heaven someday. Then he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. There is nothing to do with that has nothing to do with salvation. It only refers to the reward. God is going to give a special crown to the faithful, the crown of life. What a command. The one thing that God wants from his church is faithfulness. I don't know where I picked this up years ago, but 75% of faithfulness is just showing up to church. You're supposed to be here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as a manner some is. Where are you at tonight? You say, preacher, you're preaching in the choir. I know, but I want you to remind you that once you get out of sync and get out of going to church, I'll guarantee you, this is what happens. It'll just happen. You get out of it. You forget what day it is. God says be faithful. I'm going to ask you tonight, would you get a crown for faithfulness? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. It means that the spiritual ear, in other words, who are spiritual, you'll hear those things. Certain people don't want to hear those things. They don't want to hear it. Here's a great promise. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. This carries the idea is not about to go in the lake of fire. Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. You get born twice, you get die once. If you get born once, you're going to die twice. Simple as that. Except Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, that's the second birth. You only die once. And then the resurrection? And life with Jesus forever. Oh yeah, there's troubles and heartache and sorrows. There's a lot of problems going on. We have no idea about it. We Americans, we've got so much. I mean, they get hollered at us and screaming at us a little bit. Because we believe the Bible is true and the Word of God, we really are not. But boy, go to Syria tonight. The Prims that are over in... is it Czechoslovakia? Not Czechoslovakia. They're over here. His wife's a Jewish girl. They were just here. He was just here. All the trouble and sorrow over there. Unbelievable. What's going on? Unbelievable what's going on in Turkey. Unbelievable what's going on in killing the Christians. I mean, just massacring them. And we in our country, our leaders don't care. They think it's part of the way it's supposed to be. You ought to pray for our leaders. Pray for them. Yeah, God tells us to pray for them. Amen. Next is the church of Pergamos. The word Pergamos means married. These things saith, verse 12, which hath the sharp sword with two edges. The sword is what? The Word of God, Ephesians chapter 6:17. This shows that Jesus is bringing judgment upon the church of Pergamos. When a person is cut, they cry. The same is true with the church that is cold and indifferent. When someone preaches the gospel to them, they cry like babies. Some realize that they were wrong and hit the altar and get right. And others say, I've had enough of that. I can go someplace else and I can feel good. I know where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Oh, that's good. Verse 13. He's talking about a church, okay? The word seat translated throne. The church was living where Satan's throne was. Where is Satan's throne? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Satan's throne is in the world. Occasionally I'll hear people say, well, God is on the throne in this world. No, he's not. That is not true. God does not have his throne here on earth. The God of this world is Satan himself. For this we find. That's why he says, hey, try every spirit. Try every spirit. Make sure that they're of God. Amen. From this we find the worldly church. Isn't it a picture of the churches in many places today? Many have gone out of the soul-saving business into entertainment and recreation business. I can't remember a family. A family came here a couple of months ago and said, you won't believe what's out there. A brother, Larry, told me he was at a church service, and he said, good night, preacher. He said, that was the worst rock concert I've ever been at. Church? That's not God's business. This lady told me, said, yeah, preacher, we went to the church. I'm not going to name it, but she said, the music, what do they call it? Music worship leader? He swore at least three times during that service. He said, we never go back to that again. Oh, well, hello. I'm going to tell you something. We have to stand straight in this world. There are people that have brought dance into the church. Tennessee Temple. Great Tennessee Temple. The great university. Dr. Lee Robertson. When he left, they had dances at their university. The great Tennessee Temple University. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's just crazy. So did Jerry Falwell's school. Same thing. They just went nuts. It's the nuttest thing you've ever seen. I don't understand it. They've turned their churches into rock and roll music and country western music and their card games and their movies and you name it. They bring it right in the house of God. I thought the Bible said we're just come out of this world. And be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. You say, but preacher, you got to have some a little more excitement and some smoke and some music and the drums. Well, I guess we're wrong because everybody's doing it. Hey, brother, Commodore. That ain't going to happen here, is it?
No, sir.
God, pray for us, preachers. Pray that we stay straight in the Word of God. Stay where you say, no, we'll defend that and say, no, we're not going that way. We're not going to bring dancing. I don't believe in dancing outside the church, let alone inside the church. I don't believe in rock and roll music outside the church, let alone bringing it in church. I don't believe in gambling outside, and I don't believe in bringing it in the inside. They're raffling off Bibles now. Wasn't that a blessing? They let them have a 50-50 tonight. Maybe they'll help our offerings. Are you kidding me? God tells me how much I'm supposed to give. He told me I'm supposed to give a tithe. That means 10% of what God gave me last week, I'm supposed to bring to the church house on Sunday morning or Sunday night or how soon I can get here. Amen. And if I don't, I'm against him. I don't want to be against God. Man, I got enough things going against me, let alone asking God to get after me. Amen? Why don't you say amen or something? I might want to think you're agreeing with me. Thank you. God, get us back to this business of soul winning. Jesus, keep us back. Keep us out of the world. The drawing card of Heritage Baptist Church should be Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. But many, that's not enough. They want entertainment. They want show business in the church. Ain't going to happen. Dear God, keep us straight. Hide us behind you, Lord, with the blood of Jesus Christ. Stay straight. Stay right. Stay right with our music. Stay right with our preaching. Stay right with our soul winning. Stay right about helping our widows. Stay right with helping our the fatherless children. Stay unspotted by the world. That's Bible. That's what the Bible says a Christian should be. He said, but I don't like that. You're in the wrong church. Either repent. There's plenty of churches out in this community that act like that. Most of them do. Ask some people have been going around looking for a church. Just ask them how things are out there in Great Falls. And they'll tell you. Ask some people that moved from Heritage Baptist Church and gone someplace else, and they're still looking for a church. Listen to what he said. And thou holdest fast my name. They believe that Jesus was God's Son. There are some among us who deny that Jesus Christ is the Son. There are preachers who do not believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Yet, this is not our greatest danger. Our greatest, danger lies in the same place of Pergamos. Though they were fundamentally sound, they're getting worldlier by the day. I can take you to a Lutheran church tonight, and through kindness, I would ask them to see their doctrinal statement. And everything is exactly right down the Bible, except baptism. But the unfortunate thing is many of them do not live that. They have the new license of grace. Well, we can have an alcoholic beverage once in a while if we don't overdo. Let me tell you something about that. What if, first of all, I took it and I liked it? So therefore, I'll just remain a teetotaler. What if my son saw me taking that and he can't control it? What if my daughter or my wife, or what about my friends see that and they can't control it? So what have I become? The Bible says abstain from all appearances of evil. I think that's still in the book, isn't it? Unless they rewrote it in some other Bible. Brother, what you believe will not do a bit of good unless it changes your life. Hear me? You may believe it, but you don't live it. That's vanity. Listen to what he says. Even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth, the word martyr means witness, and thank God for those who are willing to witness for Jesus Christ. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Verse 14. Now, I read that story over again today, over in Numbers chapter 22 through 31. And you can find that account. Note three facts about Balaam. He would not go with the wicked king Balak to gain money for himself, but to please the wicked Balak, he went to him when God had forbidden him. And Balaam was a popularity seeker. Because of his action, he caused the Israelites to what? To intermarry? To tolerate whoredom and idolatry? Hey, separate yourself. Get away from those kind of people. Amen. Stay away from those kind of people. He said, but Pastor, we're such good friends. You know what? I would really be careful about my friend, because my mama used to say, if you lay down with the dog, you're going to get the same fleas. Birds of the feather, what? flock together. I have never seen a strong person that loves God and loves the Word of God stay around people that don't and stay strong. I've not seen them. We got to be careful. We got to be careful how we keep our kids, how we have our who we have our children run with, who we have. Boy, these kids are really in trouble. I see them with your kids, amen. We got to be very, very careful about the home environment. What if my little grandson come to your house and there's beer in your refrigerator or wine or whatever, you know? By the way, I will not cook with wine. I won't do it. I'll tell you a very sad story, but funny. When I accepted the pastorate at Delvin Baptist Church in Delvin, Minnesota, that was 1971 or 72. And in my freezer, I was at a wedding, and someone gave me a cigar. And I'd heard that if you take a dried out cigar, if you leave it in the freezer long enough, they'll dry out, and then you can spray, put them all over your little flowers in the house, you won't get aphids. I said, man, that's a great idea, so I'll put it in there. Never thinking that two of my deacons would move my refrigerator. Oh, yeah. Brought everything to the parsonage, moved in, and deacon says, oh, preacher, you don't smoke, do you? I said, no, man, why? He said, well, I saw a cigar in your freezer. I turned all purple red. And I said, and then I went to, he said, that's okay. No, I said, let me explain it to you, okay? And guess what I did to that cigar? I smoked it. No, I threw it out. I just got rid of it. Hey, I had some idiot one time throw his cigarette ashes in my garbage can. Man, I'll tell you what, I took that out to the alleyway and poured them out and got it. Man, I don't want to know that in my. I don't want people to think I smoke. Good night. Why? I think it's very important for us to be very careful about our testimony. We ought to be very careful. Listen, so hast thou also to hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans. Since Pergamos was means marriage, the doctrine was tied to the fact that their church was married to the world where Satan dwelleth. He said, repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Verse 16, this verse carries the idea that you're going to get out of the world before I come. I don't want to find you in the world when I come. And then he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit hath said to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give, eat of manna, hidden manna. The spiritual interpretation is this, God has given hidden truth to teach us, but he will not let us understand them, and we're still living in the Word of God, living in the world. We need to study the Word of God. But when you come out of the world, God will give you understanding the hidden truth of the Word. And he will give you a white stone. And a stone, a new name written. Praise God. That he has engraved our names in heaven. The name of the book of life is yours, which no man knoweth, saying he that receiveth it. Nobody can tell if you're saved or not. Can they? And for most part, the way you live, ain't nobody going to even believe you're saved. Amen. No man knows your condition before God. Except God. For God searches your heart. And you ought to search your heart and find out if you're right with God. I'm going to stop there.